Blog Talk Radio.
That was nice.
Believe everything the mainstream media tells you.
Okay, Scotty, take over. I gotta take this call. You and Mr.
Alrighty.
All right.
Hi, Miss. How you doing?
Hi, good, Scott. How are you?
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. Yeah, got to enjoy.
Happy anniversary again.
Well, thank you. I got to enjoy most of the day with my wife, and it'll probably be, at best, probably an hour show tonight. We had to start late because of technical difficulties. This will probably be the last show. Unless something important comes up, and you can get a hold of me or Don or somebody, get a hold of one of us, and we can always post another show and have a show if we need to. If something important comes up or something big comes up, if somebody's local, we can do that. That's not a problem, but we'll probably be the last show until after the week after Labor Day. And by the way, for those who forget, don't forget that next Sunday is Father's Day. There you go. So, other than that, we're doing all right. A lot of different things happening this week, Melissa. I found out through the grapevine, somebody had shared something with me that there's going to be a commercial, I guess, made down in your local on June 15th. It is local 2209, which I think is Fort Wayne. It says denounces social and racial injustices. They're asking people, the union members, to gather at the union hall from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. and from noon to 4 p.m. in order to make this happen. We're asking you to wear your Black Lives Matter, Pride, UAW, or other T-shirts. You or other shirts that you may own to show your diversity and support for this very important cause. My question is to somebody from Fort Wayne's leadership. I understand racial injustices, but to say you have a social injustice, tell you what, man, you can somebody's got some big brass couillons. You know, where's the shop chairman and the constitutional delegates? Who supported all this shit that happened at the last the Constitutional Convention? And furthermore, where did you guys stand on this national contract? Did you endorse that? You want to talk about social injustice, and we want to hire people in, brothers and sisters in our own union, at half wages? Really? You guys want to talk about that? I think you guys need to shut the hell up. I really do. Got some big freaking balls come out there in public and want to make a commercial like this. When you come in and you hire our brothers and sisters, come into the UAW, and then pay them half wages, and you have the couillons to talk about a social injustice. You're holding people down. Them people right across the line, other people making twice as much money as they are.
Exactly.
What are you doing about that? They're not saying shit with a mouthful. Oh, Jimmy started on this whole thing. I think it's a really bad idea for Fort Wayne's local to be doing something like this. Like I said, I understand the cause, and I think there's other ways to put your support behind this, but to make a commercial, take some balls when you're hiring people and you are knowingly letting the company bring people in at third and fourth and fifth tier wages. You're not even hiring full-time employees. You're hiring part-time temporaries, full-time temporaries. Are you kidding me?
Nope.
Oh, now listen, and as far as some of these other organizations they're backing up, you need to, but you better investigate some of these people a little better. I know there's a couple, three individuals who are now millionaires off of one of these organizations, so, yeah. All right, I'm going to get off that one before I get real wound up here and say something that I'm going to regret.
Yeah, that's pretty two-faced, if you ask me.
Oh, yeah, you're talking, well, see, you got to get me going again. Talking about two-faced Mother Hubbards. You got the International Executive Board down there. These assholes have been stealing and lying to us from years. You got 15 of them been convicted going to prison. last one was Gary Jones this last Thursday at 10 o'clock in the morning. He got sentenced 28 months. And you want to talk about social and racial injustice to us. And you guys have been stealing in... No. I'm going to shut up before I say something I'm going to regret.
God bless America. I hear that when you're ranting. I hear that song. But you're absolutely
Thank
right.
You.
Adrian's here. I think this is Paul. He's here. And we got a lot of people in the switchboard. That's nice. They found us at 7:30.
Awesome.
Yeah. So if you want to join the show, push one on your keypad. I'll get you right on. I think Carrie's down there. I think that's Carrie. All right, you guys.
Good evening, everybody.
Good
evening.
Let me get Carrie on. Carrie, it's coming. It's rolling. It's spinning. There you go. Carrie, you're on.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Carrie.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, Scott.
Hey. Yeah, Chris.
Scott, don't blow a gasket, okay?
Don't what?
Don't blow a gasket. You know, I've been blowing enough gaskets for all of us. Don't you blow a gasket, too.
I don't know. Some of us might remember our mom or our grandmother using a pressure cooker.
Oh, yeah.
And I think somebody doesn't have enough water in the bottom of the pot, and the heat's up a little too high. Because that thing ain't jiggling. It's a whistling.
Oh, Lord.
I asked my dad one time what that was happening. Because you know how a guy sits there and... You know, it wasn't doing that. It just started whistling. I asked Dad what to do. He says, run.
That's right.
My mom blew up, I think it was a 15-quart pressure cooker in the kitchen with about a, I don't know, must have been about a 10-pound snapping turtle all over the ceiling and the back wall. There's turtle everywhere.
They do.
I'm going to tell you what. Shrapnel.
Yep.
Shrapnel.
Welcome to the Betty Crocker the Cooking Hour with Scott and Adrian. Go ahead, Scott and Adrian. Take it away.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I'll tell you in a minute. Don't get your panties in a bunch. And
there
it's
you
like,
go.
Yeah, but y'all doing all kinds of old strange stuff.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be nice tonight.
whoever come up with this idea, y'all need to share whatever you're smoking with us so maybe we get on the same page with you. Because that's pretty bold stuff.
That's pretty bold to do a commercial about equality. And when that's totally opposite what you have at General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler. It's just amazing.
Yep.
Nobody's equal in those buildings. No equal pay, benefits, nothing. What a joke.
You know, they didn't learn. Because I remember, it's got to be 5 years ago now, Don.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when there for a while, Dennis Williams, Cindy Estrada, and I think Jimmy Settles did one. He didn't do as many as Dennis and Cindy was doing, but they'd do this little commentary in the Detroit News. And she come out talking about social injustice, and it was a half-page article and commentary from Cindy Estrada. It had been a while ago because she was still the vice president of General Motors Department, UAW. And I read that online, and I ripped and tore her for having the couillons to say something like that, put that in print, knowing that we're sitting there supporting people in at half wages. They go in against every grain from every building block of our glorious union from the days of old. Walter Reuther would have I don't think Walter even got a hold of Victor. I think he would have just walked up there and slapped her upside the head. But anyway.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, it's not good. But.
Yeah,
so,
it's pretty bold.
A lot of things happened this week. I mean, Gary Jones got sentenced this last Thursday to 28 months. I don't think he'll – I'm going to take a bet. I'm going to say I don't think he's going to make it even a year in there. I think he'll be out in less than a year.
But did you really read the article?
Which one?
I was really disappointed.
Oh, yeah.
And that our UAW president said that you have to have corruption in your heart. And it's like, okay, and that, you know, we don't have a problem with that anymore. And it's like, what?
Hey, pass that.
Now,
pass over here, let me take a hit of it, too.
Now, and I let everybody know this. I love Rory Gamble, okay? I know him personally.
Right.
I've dealt with him on several levels throughout my working time.
Right.
I know what kind of person he was anyway. I'll say
right.
it that way. But corruption is not in your heart. It's in your whole damn body when you do things the way that they've done. And I don't want to hear you tell me about corruption being in somebody's heart. I want you to stand up there and speak for the membership, not for the people. I don't want to hear you allow those people that are, and I'll say it this way, underlings, tell the membership that they do the hiring. I don't, stop. Just, you know.
Wow, that I'm slow.
Jimmy, Brian,
you
cannot.
Yeah, if you cannot be for the members, but you're for making sure the corporations are able to operate.
What?
And you don't care about what happens to the members. You mean to tell me you're not still corrupt? Because your main concern is the preamble of that Constitution and at least them first five articles.
Hear, hear.
And you've thrown all of that away.
May I
because
add
there's
something
no
to that
equality.
Part?
Yeah, it's like you talk about socialist programs and supporting equality against discrimination
right.
and the harassment and all of that. You don't mean that because we don't see that. So what's in it for you? That's the question. What's in it for you? Because you're not in this for us. And
right.
we have a right to ask you why. We have a right to try to understand what you are doing against us. And why are you doing these things against us? And
right.
it's not just And I'm always saying this, it's not just the auto workers. It's our whole UAW. We
right.
have all types of disciplines and units in our UAW that you don't even qualify to really be negotiating for these people, some of these people that you brought in.
Yep. And I think... what I wanted to add in behind what you're saying is, I believe what you're saying 100%.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing he's forgetting is that corporation don't make those vehicles, baby. We do.
Amen.
Our
right.
We
That's
make
right.
them. We make those things. We are the backbone of those corporations, and they failed to remember that. We're the
yes.
backbone. To, just to quote what Peter Ruther said, shame on you for doing that to the Union brothers and sisters. We're the backbone of the corporation.
Well, this is the thing. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
The problem with the union is not just you got those that were involved in the corruption, you got those that turned a blind eye to the corruption. So if you turned a blind eye to the corruption, you have no backbone to lead the
yes.
leadership. You have no backbone to lead this union
yes.
because you don't have the will to fight for the membership.
That's right.
Because they should have spoken out a long time ago about that corruption, and they didn't. They should
They're
have
not
brought
going
those
to.
People up under the Constitution, brought them up on trials and charges, and they didn't. So not just they didn't protect us from the leadership that was stealing it from us and intertwined with the very companies we work for, they didn't stop the concessions or the job losses because it was those that were involved in the corruption that were bargaining our contract in bad faith, and then
here,
there were
here.
Those that were turning a blind eye to the corruption that was selling those contracts in bad faith. They were
mm-hmm.
undermining the membership. They were dividing
mm-hmm.
the membership from within, and they're deteriorating our union from within.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the legal system, you look at the National Labor Relations Board, you look at the government as a whole, meaning Democrat and Republican, who came to the rescue of labor? Nobody. We've lost 1.3 million auto workers in the last 42 years. Chrysler admitted guilt. We got oversight on the union, and we got 16 indictments, but the only one that had a case was the federal government, and labor got screwed. We've taken concessions decade after decade, lost job after job, plant closing after plant closing, and nobody is standing up to the leadership. Because one thing
that's because
the membership should be doing – hold on, one more thing. One thing that the membership should be doing right now, they should be organizing in front of every region and in front of that solidarity and demanding that all pensions and benefits that they got was under false pretenses and should be taken back.
Amen.
Yes. Yes.
And their legal fees. And their legal
exactly.
fees.
Everything.
Exactly.
People need
Everything.
To understand that they didn't say nothing because guess what? They're looking at it as, hey, man, I'm 2 feet from the gravy train. It's my turn to feed at the trough.
Yeah.
That's why them people didn't say something. So you need to organize at your locals. You need to go to your regions. They have an open solidarity house because they don't want my fat ass in front of it. Understand
mm-hmm.
that.
Greetings.
And not
the
fat.
How you doing, Paul?
Oh, I'm doing good. You are an absolutely rabid bunch tonight. This is fun to listen to, but I think everybody's losing the point here. Basically, none of these people care about anything except for perpetuating the stranglehold of power that the Solidarity House caucus has on this union. They don't care about anything but their own corrupt caucus.
I absolutely agree. I mean, if you look at Volvo in Virginia, Local 2069, they voted their tentative agreement down twice at a 90% range.
Yeah.
And the Solidarity House continues to shove that tentative agreement, trying to push it down their throats to get them to vote for it. And they're not voting yes. They're voting no because they feel that they deserve more. They feel that they deserve better benefits, better wages. And so finally, you got a local that's standing together and telling the Solidarity House, we're not going with this. You either represent our interests or we'll fight against you. And that's what Local 2069 has been doing.
Another thing, I'm down here in Tennessee right now, folks, and I've met a lot of people. I'm seeing people driving Volvos. I'm seeing people driving Nissans, and they look at me. That's what we're building down here. And these companies are treating us better than your thug felons up there. And why would I vote your union in when it actually means a pay cut to me? If I vote your union in, I make less money than I make now. And my company is telling me if they come, shit's going to be worse. You got to understand. I down here this trip, I actually understand what these people are saying. You think we got a bad taste in our mouth because of what our union has done? These people are reading it and seeing what the government's done. It's a damn shame. But like you said, our government, the NRLB, ain't nobody standing up for the worker. Nobody.
Well,
but they're not going to stand up for the worker when it's all corporation ran. The whole country is ran by the corporations and the companies. It's not about Democrats and Republicans anymore. It's about the corporations have a hold on everything. They're running everything. And so our UAW people, like I said, they're not smart enough to even realize that this is what's happening. Or they don't care. They're looking out just like some others. I'm in power. And I want to retain this power. It's not about power. It's about doing
right.
the right thing towards your membership.
The problem is these unions have become corporate watchdogs. They're intertwined
yes.
with the very companies we work for. And when you look at the fact that GM and Ford made $3 billion in the last profit in North America, they didn't announce what Stellantis got, but what they did announce was Stellantis global revenues, which was $44 billion. So can you imagine what the profits of $44 billion would have been? And that's the problem with the union is a lot of people are not focusing that these are global companies. They're no longer just American companies. They're global companies, and they're playing the whips on each country's labor market against each other for the lowest bidder. The whips on each local against each other, and they're killing our union from within by using our leadership as pawns.
Well, they're also killing the corporations. Look at General Motors' market share. You know, Jesus said where the blind lead the blind, they both fall in the ditch, and that's what happens. You know, these companies are falling along the wayside because they think the only way to make money is cut costs, whereas their competitors believe the way to make money is to increase your market share.
Well, nobody said they were smart, because my yeah. thing is if they sit there and kill off the largest middle class in our purchasing power, and they fill these plants with robotics, and you know, they start designing all these autonomous electrical vehicles, which we don't have an infrastructure that can sustain it,
right.
then, I mean, shame on them. Sure, they're going to line their pockets, right, before the companies end up collapsing. But
right.
if you crash the world economy, I mean, that money ain't going to mean nothing anyways.
Well, they don't want to build entry-level vehicles. They want to leave that to Honda, Toyota, and Nissan,
Toyota.
And it's going
right.
to take away a generation of customers. Not everybody can afford a $60,000 vehicle.
That's correct.
And
well, if they build entry-level vehicles, they're building them in different countries and importing them here for U.S. sales.
But they're not building many of them. They're not even trying to be really competitive in that market. You know, when the Japanese companies designed vehicles for the American market, they had an American team to design them for Americans. But General Motors and Ford want to import these vehicles from everywhere else, and Americans don't buy them because it doesn't meet their needs.
And,
well,
and General Motors has got most of their employees in China anyways.
Right.
I know four models now, almost probably five going on that are new models for Ford that are being made in Hermosillo, Mexico.
Yeah. Yep.
So.
Well, you know, the more our union leadership placates these companies, the more appointed jobs they get through these joint, you know, through joint funds, and that's what they're after. They're trying to build a strong caucus.
Well,
but
it
this,
used
this,
to be
this,
some of
this,
your
this
most
This is
your
my argument, though. This is my argument. What is the membership doing? We're watching the leadership divide us and eat this union from within, but the majority of the membership are just sitting back, idle, not doing anything to stop them from deteriorating this union.
Yeah.
And the membership is the body of this union. There's no
Amen,
excuse
bro.
For this.
Well, I think they believe it's like the Borg. Was it the Borg in Star Trek where they said the resistance is futile or something like that? What they see is people run that want to make a difference, and they just, once they get an office, they get bought off. I've seen it time and time again. Probably pretty much everybody else that's listening to the show has seen it. Somebody gets elected that's decent, and they either buy them off or attack them and wear them down.
Well, I mean,
it's
the
a lonely business
is,
running against it, these pukes.
It is. I mean, when I got elected chair at Local 412, when I got hired into housekeeping for Chrysler before they outsourced it, when I put that information request in trying to figure out how they negotiated caravan nights in our place so that the company got cheap labor and the union was allowed to unionize this at-will company behind our back, you know, that started a whole ruckus.
Yeah.
But I didn't sell out on the membership.
Yeah. Well, I never did either, you know,
I mean, I ended up when they outsourced housekeeping, I ended up at Mopar, Local 1248.
Yeah.
And so I agree with you that the majority of the leadership does do exactly that, sell out on their membership. But there are some of us that actually believe in this union and our futures, you know.
Yeah.
So I understand that not everybody's cut out, maybe like you or me or Adrian or whatever, but
no, most people aren't. I had a comically good time the 2 terms I was on the unit executive board. I went out and campaigned against local and national agreements, and that didn't go too well with most of the people, but we had a pretty good union president at the time. He just said, that's my right. But, you know, you're just expected to follow like a sheep. You know, once you're in leadership, you're supposed to follow whatever the top dogs, you know, say goes.
Right. Well,
they don't even believe you have a right to question them anymore. That's why so many of them are in jail right now.
Well, that's right, Paul. Like that, looking.
Well, they brought that lady in our plant from Delphi and put her right in an appointed position because her brother is one of the elected felons now. Put this out. They kissed her ass, brought her in. Her brother's now a convicted felon for the UAW, and those are the kind of people they support. And yet the membership still doesn't understand when they run as a slate and you're running as an independent how they screw you over. Hell, you can't even campaign, and then if you try, they try and pick a fight when you're voting. I witnessed that at this last campaign.
Well, you know what? At the last convention, they were running as individuals. After nominations and things were closed, someone said, oh, you want to run as a team? Oh, yes. And that was illegal.
Yep.
That was illegal for them to run as a team.
Yep.
But they had to
that.
Run as a team to save Cindy Estrada because they knew she wasn't going to make it.
Well, they do whatever they want. What was that guy's name? Something Davis. At one of the conventions, he ran for regional director, and he wasn't the person they wanted. He won, so they got together and dissolved the region.
Yeah, I remember.
He'd won the election. What was that guy? I believe his last name was Davis.
That's Jerry Tucker.
No, it wasn't Jerry Tucker. This was a different guy. This was about 15 years ago. Jerry Tucker, they actually cheated him in his election, and he went to court and won his seat. But
right.
You know, they just figure they're in power. They're going to make and break the rules when they feel like it.
Exactly.
That's basically what they did where Gary Jones is from. I can't remember that region out there, but they knew they did. They lost their stronghold out there. They knew they were going to get their ass lift in any election. So what did they do? They divided that district up or region up. And I don't know how the other two regions are able to even absorb that type of membership that they're supposed to be, you know, negotiating and representing. The word representation to them is like looking at a bank deposit slip, people. That's all they give a shit about. Understand mm-hmm. that. People aren't nothing more than dollar signs to them animals. They're not people no more. Look at that that way. They're hogs feeding at a damn trough, and it's your money they're chewing up. You want to keep mm-hmm. it up? Fine. But I don't understand, how is it that this Leroy McKnight hits me up and tells me that the delegates have already voted on one membership, one man, one vote, and it ain't going to happen? Why do these delegates get to even vote on that? That should come right to the flipping member. There shouldn't be a vote, in my humble opinion.
Right.
Case closed.
Right. Who are the delegates? When were they elected?
The same delegates that were at the last convention.
Right.
Right.
Because you haven't had a new delegation
but,
yet. But
oh, yeah.
The
delegates decided to vote on whether they take away their own power or not. That's a joke.
No, it's the delegates that gave them a 31% pay raise. Remember that?
It's just like when you lose an election, there's a problem with it, you get to appeal to the people that just beat you. It, you know, the whole system is a joke.
It is.
Right.
Did Mike Carter come on tonight before I got off the freeway? Because he was going to come on and talk to some people, and I pray he did, because he did finally get part of his thing won with the NRLB, so they are going to have an election down there. I hope he talked about that.
No, we had a technical difficulty. The show didn't start until 7:30.
260, you're on.
Yeah. Hey, guys, how we doing?
Hi.
Hello.
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 You got the floor.
Oh,
we're all anxious to hear.
I didn't know I had the floor. I don't think I really have anything I got to say. I'll answer any kind of questions or anything. I wanted to share that with the membership. I posted it because honestly, I know it's so easy to focus on negatives because everything is negative. Let's be honest. And, within our system with the PRB, we do have, somewhat of a leverage system where a wrong can be corrected. It takes hard work and diligence to go through that system, but you can do it. And I just want members to be aware of it, that, you know, it's all hope is not lost. You know, we can still do what we can internally.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Still
Mike.
Fighting a battle.
Yeah. The public review board, rules about 5% for appellants. They rule in favor of the international executive board about 95% of the time, but when something's really outrageous, they'll support you.
Yeah.
Well, that's like that lady told me, two, 3 months ago, Paul, when you were there. Well, if they changed your umpire decision in the ruling, you should have got back a hold of us. Well, me being a whatever you want to say, it's AA1 is my umpire decision, in case you people down in Solidarity House, those records got lost, you know where to go. It says you shouldn't have changed my fucking seniority date, you motherfuckers. But you wait until I retire and then you reverse it? I wish I could see you for the $300,000 you cost me by taking away them 15 years. They're a piece of shit. I'll tell you what. They come near me, I'd hang them by their nuts and drag them through the water on my cannonball downrigger.
Woo!
There you go. That's what we're talking about.
I mean, think about it, Scott. They waited until I retired to reverse that decision.
Because
they don't give
it.
A fuck, Jimmy. They don't give a fuck about you, me, Scott, Brian, Adrian, nobody. They don't give a fuck about
you.
Stop
me.
But
actually,
they all they care about is the bottom dollar.
Actually, they hate us.
Well, that's
exactly
true, Paul.
But it stopped me from achieving a classification that my seniority said I was entitled to. You would have probably been able to sit on my ass and make all them guys were doing 150 a year in flying stage. you know?
Well,
I mean, come on. But I couldn't get in there because they changed my seniority date from, you know, from 397 to 7 to what the hell did they give me? I think it was like October of 86. So that way all the 1785ers jumped in front of me too. Don't forget, Norwood, I hope you're listening to this, and I meant what I said about the downriggers and the cannonball. You can bring your two chump-ass sons, too, because I know one of them. I ain't got no problem. Come to my property, chump.
If they reverse that decision, you could possibly go back on that.
She told me I couldn't because I'm now retired.
Doesn't make any difference. You wasn't retired when it happened.
Right.
Just remember, Jim, you often listen to people of you shouldn't trust.
There's a statute of limitations.
That was the lady that runs the umpire people now. You know, but like I told her, I said, how the hell am I supposed to get a hold of you? I said, I knew who my umpire was. But you got to get a hold of your local. I did that. It just fell on deaf ears. So if they can't make the locals do what the hell they want, and just, you know, it seems like all my region really wants to do is make felons. If you look at the number of felons that come out of region, what were we, 1C? We were so bad they had to drop the C. We became a D. They brought Kareem over. He stuck his stick somewhere. Now he's retired. But he did pick up a couple more pensions in a short trip. That's how you talk about it in America, people. And they fathered kids over there raping people in Chicago. That's the representation you want? I want nothing to do with it.
Wow. Brutal truth. Brutal truth.
Hey, Ford still hasn't come good on that money on them ladies that did father them children. And that was that Ford bought into that to shut the UAW up. The only reason why they did that, because they needed that door closed on how you could go home one day as a tier two and come in Monday and be a tier one. Ford was the only one left that had that door, and Suttles made sure it was slammed closed, didn't he?
Yeah, that's been, what, 4 years ago now?
It's been longer than that, but what I'm trying to get at, that's why Ford agreed to pay for them rape charges and take ownership of that, is because they had a bone or a pork chop they wanted, and boy, did our union deliver it, didn't it?
Hey, Scotty.
Membership.
Yeah.
I've got the tape if you want me to play it, whenever you want me to play it.
Oh, that one from about Lordstown Motors?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great story.
Yeah.
Now, I'll just go ahead and play it right now. It's only 2 minutes.
Some major news from Lordstown Motors. The electric truck company says it is running out of cash and does not have enough to start production. Lena Lai has details and reaction.
Don't sell your house. We're going to get those jobs coming back.
With much promise and fanfare,
I give you the Lordstown Endurance.
The debut of Lordstown Motors was a classic Ohio comeback story, promising to fill a massive void when the old GM assembly plant in Lordstown closed with the last Chevy Cruze in 2019. With pitchman Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow and eye-catching test runs of his chassis, the electric vehicle startup boasted about bringing 1,500 jobs and a $91 million payroll in 2025.
Just got a good look at the future.
But 1 year later, that future is faltering. In regulatory filings Tuesday, Lordstown Motors disclosed that it didn't have enough cash to start production. And without more money, there's, quote, substantial doubt it'll be in business a year from now.
But they perhaps got in over their skis. They didn't raise enough capital in what they needed to do.
Case Western Reserve business professor Michael Goldberg points to new competition from GM and Ford, which unveiled an electric F-150.
The cost of putting a production line together in the electric vehicle space, something like what Tesla's done, take literally billions of dollars. So they were undercapitalized when they went to the market.
You can't count on something you don't have.
The Lordstown mayor doesn't know if he'll ever see those 1,500 jobs. He's now waiting and rooting for Ohio's underdog.
You could be a hero today and a zero tomorrow and back to the hero the next day. So, you know, I'm in a wait-and-see mode.
And Ohio has pretty much rolled out the red carpet to support Lordstown Motors. Lawmakers introduced a bill in the State House to allow Lordstown Motors to do direct vehicle sales instead of requiring sales through a dealership as required by state law, plus awarding the company $29 million of job creation tax credits, Russ. But fortunately, only those happen if those jobs are created.
Okay. Lita Lai, thank you so much. And tonight, Senator Sherrod Brown told us the news is concerning. And quote, we're continuing to support Lordstown Motors' efforts to secure an advanced technology vehicles manufacturing loan from the Department of Energy and stand ready to offer support in any other ways we can, end quote.
Well, if they stop, investing in China, investing in America would be a lot better off.
Yeah, you'd think. But this is, you know, all this hype went around here. We know basically who was kind of funding this whole thing, and all of a sudden they don't have enough money. We may not be able to run another year. Wow.
Now they might not be able to start up, Scott.
Exactly. Yeah, let alone stay in business another year. Yeah. That's the more important part.
Just another way to kill the UAW. First you automate, then you outsource. Then you move your production to Mexico and China. Then when you got workers you want to get rid of, you just start get the union to go along with the idea of a joint venture. You underfund it, and the jobs are gone in the UAW members.
Yep.
Dave Yetzoff said years ago that management is playing chess and the union's playing checkers.
Using bottle tops.
Management outthinks these people. They're years ahead of them.
Yeah. That's what Brian's been saying that for quite some time now.
They're stupid and they're greedy. One of the former leaders in the Flint area, after the 98 strike at Flint Truck or at the Flint Metal Center, was talking about building an atmosphere of trust. Well, you only trust people who've demonstrated they're trustworthy. Management's never demonstrated that, and we shouldn't be trusting them for anything.
But our UAW is not demonstrating that. Our people that's at the top, or our executive board, they're not demonstrating that they're trustworthy.
No,
I don't care
not
about management. My problem is with the UAW.
Well, my problem is when they cut the 2000. I was the second speaker at the convention in 2006, and I told them the problem was we treat these management people like they're honorable men and they're nothing but professional liars, sneaks, and thieves. That's what they are. And we treat them like they're people that are trustworthy. Even what they sign with their signature.
Our people that's representing us are nothing other than snakes themselves.
That's right.
Amen.
Okay. The problem, like I said, I don't care about management. My problem is with the UAW. That's who I pay my dues to. Those are the people that's supposed to represent me. Those are the people that's supposed to be my mouthpiece. Management, I can beat management every day. Every day, every time.
Yep.
But if I'm in a role that I'm representing you, and I'm screwing over you, I'm dividing you so that you can't see what, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. Because that's what's going on. Then how can I have any kind of respect, consideration, or trust that you're doing what you're supposed to do for me?
Oh, I agree they're totally untrustworthy, but my point is they make agreements with management like management could be trusted. When they stole our money, that's one thing. But it's another thing when they make agreements that take our jobs away and our livelihoods. You know, Walter Reuther didn't trust management.
Walter Reuther should say keep management an arm's length away.
That's what the law says, that you're supposed to bargain at arm's length, but that's not what they're doing anymore.
No.
I mean, you know, we should never put one iota of trust in management because they've demonstrated for 40 years they're not trustworthy. We bought into joint with the idea that it was going to be beneficial to all. There'd be a chicken in every pot. It would make our jobs more secure. It'd make our working conditions better, but it's done exactly the opposite. And that's our goal.
What do we do about this, you all?
I keep running for office. I never give up.
The membership should have never let anybody sit on their board like they did with Ashton and all the other guys,
mm-hmm.
too. Because when you do that, they ain't representing your ass no more.
That's right.
They're covering their ass. When that happens, but you know, I want you people to sit back and think. I'm talking about the people out there listening to this show. I talk tears of discrimination and how shitty it is in the plan for it. Well, it must have been pretty shitty at Solidarity House, too, because they had to get the executive board and all them to give them a 31% pay raise just to come up to the same pay scale as your trustees were getting. They didn't like that tears of discrimination and pay at Solidarity House. Why the hell are you people down there in Detroit, Rory? Why would you people think we'd like it on the shop floor?
Right.
I've got a problem with somebody in the janitor that's in another local, and my same committee man is representing us both. How the hell do you think that shit tastes in my mouth, homeboy? Get it out of here.
There you go.
I mean, how can you represent both sides of the party? And they keep sticking their whatever you want to call it right out there. Well, it's getting cut off. They're getting slapped with felons. And I pray to God we get one member, one vote. And then why are we getting school teachers in the UAW? That's aerospace agriculture, as Adrian says. They should not even be in our flipping local. I'm sorry. I feel that way.
Well, I'm going to say this. If the one member, one vote does not get supported by the membership, the only other way to do it is physically remove them. That's
right.
The only way it's going to be done.
Yep.
I've said it many years ago. It's obvious that the legal system, the National Labor Relations Board, the government, nobody's working for labor. We keep taking concessions. We keep losing jobs. Jobs are going out of the country. This whole team concept, joint venture ain't doing nothing for us. It's a one-sided relationship with the quote-unquote Ford family or GM family or Stellantis family. There is no family. There is no relationship, and there shouldn't be a relationship.
They pay us
to do a job. We go there to do that job. Quality has nothing to do with us, since most of the stuff that they put in these vehicles, these parts, come from other countries.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they're having the issue with the semiconductors, because they want to outsource everything. So when management makes a stupid decision like this, why is it that it's the membership that ends up taking the hit?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, instead of these global shareholders or the CEO. And why is the union sitting there saying management can do this? They have the right to run the company as they see fit. Did we forget about the contract that we had?
Right.
What that's in the contract.
So,
and everybody keeps
voting
that in.
Right. So what happened to Lordstown? That was in the contract. They didn't give no warning about Lordstown. It was last minute. What about Ford Assembly in Ohio that's shipping work to Mexico?
What about Fort Wayne and Iron the Canada?
What about Belvedere?
Look at what they did in Canada. I mean, and now they're putting it back in Canada because they're trying to use the Canadian to fuck the American again because they got national health care. We had to beat that bush and try and beat that already. So they love to divide this membership.
Well, we could sit there and talk about national health care, but I'm not for it. I mean, until the government, whether Democrats or Republicans, put a cap on pharmaceuticals, hospitals, and health insurers on how much they can charge us, to me, having a universal health care program means nothing if costs keep rising.
I'm not supporting it either, but I'm just saying what the Canadians having that national health care, that was a huge flip in savings to the international, to the corporations, excuse me. You think about that. They didn't have to provide any insurance over there, yet they got paid the same buck. So, I mean, they love all
okay.
this shit.
And I agree with you that is the case, that they get a savings on the health care as far as Canada is concerned. But what about here in the United States where these companies are getting local, state, and federal tax abatement for staying in the city of Detroit or staying in the county or the state of Michigan or in the country? And not just are getting these tax abatements on a local, state, and federal level, these same companies are cutting our wages and benefits, and they're making global profits.
Amen.
And nobody's stopping them. Not the UAW, not the government, not nobody, not even the membership. The membership is just sitting back watching it happen, and the leadership is getting their pockets lined off the backs of us. These companies are getting their pockets lined off the backs of us, and we're just sitting here stupid, not fighting back, saying, hey, we're making this happen. We deserve a piece. You're not just going to throw crumbs at us because these companies wouldn't run without the membership. This union wouldn't be a union without the membership, and the country's economy would run without labor. It takes us to build the product, to sell the product, to buy the product. We're the ones
here.
Boost the U.S. dollar.
Right.
So
from coast to coast and border to border, anything gets moved around here, it's with labor union, union labor. How's that?
There you go.
Truckers, longshoremen, the rail yard, truckers, I mean, pilots. They're all unionized people that move this stuff around the United States.
You're even missing out with the tin knockers, the electricians. All your trades are unionized people.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to down the UAW because we were the ones that brought you your holidays and started the insurance and benefits and all that shit, and they want to shit on us. Well, I can understand why the corporations and companies want it, but why are you bought into it? Like I said, I don't understand how they keep fucking pouring over. Look at what Ford's stock pays. I mean, that's a shame. There's, last I know, it was, what, $9 a share?
And it came up, yeah. It's something, you know. This week they announced that they had a big COVID outbreak in Taiwan, and now they have a problem with the chips yet. Their trucker workers get that line working over, and you got people that are trying to hire temporary workers, you heard me correct, temporary workers, into some of these facilities across the board, all three. One of them happens to be from my local. The Free Press called him a union boss. He's a chairman. He's not a union boss. He's a chairman of our plant. Made the recommendation that we should probably drop the drug test so we can hire some people. I like that.
Yeah,
I saw that. I've been waiting for that.
Well, we did legalize marijuana.
And
yeah.
The chairman up there at next year got that big national statewide contract. He's going to have 5,000 plants, so they better get that's why they're doing that. That's the most sales up there.
And maybe right. The working conditions are so bad now you got to go in there high to be able to tolerate it.
Or piss on that drain.
Forget about pissing in that drinking fountain.
Yep.
This is such a far cry. We are so removed from what it was like when we all hired in to what they're doing now.
Yeah,
it's a completely
disgusting.
Different. It's a completely different union. It hasn't changed. It's just
It's just flexed itself to go along with the current times. I mean, they'll always be the corporation, okay? But to think that the UAW has, or the unions in general, are treating the workers the way they have been. Because it's not just the UAW we hear about with the corrupt union people. We're hearing all about all these other unions that are having the same problem, you know? So,
except the teachers union in California, they don't give a rip of the schools ever operate as long as they take care of their members.
Right, right.
And that's the way a union should be. You put your, I mean, I don't agree with exactly what's going on there, but they're bargaining from the teacher's perspective, and they don't care about management's problems.
Right, right.
And that's the way it should be.
Right. Just like what them people did down there, the teachers did down in Kentucky. They did the same thing.
Yep.
The union kept dragging their feet. They went around the union, and they got what they needed to get done, but
yep.
They represented the workers down there.
Yeah. And when I got recalled from a long layoff to Flint Truck and Bus in 1984, and the superintendent in paint was talking about Teen Concept, they told them they wanted us to cooperate in our own demise, and that's exactly what we've been doing.
Yep. In demise. I look at this last week. For all of us that are old enough to remember what the Maverick was, Ford's bringing out a new hybrid. It's going to be made in Mexico. It's going to be coming back in. The base price is going to be $21,495. It's going to be a front-wheel drive hybrid. It's supposed to have a EPA, 40 for the city, and 500 miles of the range on one tank of gas. The bed is going to be 4.5 feet long. But it's going to have a flexible tailgate, which should help move larger items around. They don't think this is going to offer or put up any kind of a competition with their new F-150 Lightning or the Mustang Mach-E. They just want to give people an alternative to crossovers that's easier on gas. So Ford's doing something that nobody else is doing, I guess, right?
What, moving production to Mexico?
Yeah. Production from Mexico.
Yeah.
They'll be moving them here into the United States from Mexico. Those are jobs that could have been done here. That vehicle could have been built at one of our facilities here in the United States.
What's pro union Joe Biden saying about that? Anything?
No. They asked him about that when all those jobs left out of Ohio went to Mexico, and he didn't really say a whole lot about it.
See, that,
you know?
That's the problem we have as union members. Liberals used to be pro-union. They aren't anymore. You know, the founder of Amazon, he's a liberal. He's certainly not pro-union. The Apple computer bunch, they're liberals, but they don't even want an American to have a job. They want to build everything in China.
But they want you to build them, buy them products.
Yep.
You know, somebody was in the switchboard. They're gone now. They said you know who makes all the batteries for the electric vehicles? None other than the Chinese. China owns 2/3 of our energy resources, they said. I'm not sure about that, but.
Well, they've been investing heavily in alternative energy.
Yep. Yeah. So real quick, I want to throw this out so everybody can understand this. This is probably going to be the last show until after Labor Day, which would be September 12th. Take the rest of summer off. Unless something happens and somebody, Adrian, or something's got to be spoke up, we'll do a show. If Carrie or Jim or somebody hears something from one of these locals, something happens, we got to do a show, we'll do a show. We'll post it. We'll do a show.
We'll do a show for anybody for a cause. That's Brian. That's Paul. That's anybody. Mike, you
there
guys
you go.
Call
get a hold of us on our pages, We the Workers, Workers, Workplaces, Unions. Adrian, what's your page?
Excuse Solidarity me, Sunday, Zone 1.
That's what I meant, Zone 1.
And
if you need someone, get a hold of us, some of us through there. We'll pick up the phone. We'll do a show. It don't even have to be a Sunday, but make it for a reason, man.
And if you feel that there's something you need to tell the membership, and you can get a hold of me, and I'll put you on. You do the show. I'll do the switchboard just like I do now.
Mm-hmm.
You can do the show.
Thank you, Don Couch.
Welcome, Jimmy.
Yes, yes. Yeah, yeah.
Going on our 17th year coming up in September, folks.
Wow. 17 years.
Yes,
yeah, we've been doing this a long time. Hey, so, you know, there's another thing that's been going on that I don't know if anybody's been really paying attention about or not in the news. And this, if this is just one CEO talking about this right now, I'm sure we're going to hear the other CEOs talking about this too. And Mary Barra was looking for some flexibility and trying to meet the tougher emission standards that was set. So that's going to start affecting as far as I think we'll see smaller cars coming back if for some reason we can't get these, what were they, the CAFE standards? If we can't get those more in line reasonably, because let's face it, nobody out here knows of any mid-sized vehicle, and I'm not talking about a truck, I'm talking about a mid-sized vehicle that's going to get 56 miles to a gallon here within the next couple of years. And that's why they're doing this big push for all this electric and these hybrids, okay, you know, because they know people need a big pickup truck to move certain things. And so to offset that EPA standard, they offer more of these smaller cars to get higher EPA standards so they can average it out so they can keep selling the big vehicles. And it's the big vehicles that people want.
Well, that electric vehicle, like I said, Scott, I got a lot of friends in Southern California, and they can't hop in their Prius and drive it to Vegas because it won't go that far when they turn their AC or heater on. They're finding out they can only go 240 miles. Well, out in rural Michigan, I'm sorry, folks, that means I can't go up to the Mackinac Bridge from where I live. Why would I buy that piece of shit?
Wow.
And I'm not going to be hot driving. Or cold.
Right.
I ain't ever driving across that bridge. Fuck that.
What's wrong with you? It's called the Mighty Mac for a reason. Come on now.
There was a bad thing.
When I can see the lake below me, there's a problem.
No.
It's beautiful.
There was a terrible accident on that bridge, I think, yesterday or the day before. There was three lives lost, and 40 bikes went down.
Wow.
Yeah, a guy 78 years old on a trike somehow went across the center line and hit a pickup head on. He's dead, and then the bike's behind him, according to the thing. You find that on Facebook. It's called We Ride Michigan, and it's sad.
Wow.
Yeah, I had friends sitting on the Mackinac Bridge yesterday for 4.5 hours, so the Mighty Mac was moving mighty slow.
Yeah.
I don't think we've only had one instance, and I think I go back to 1984.
Oh, the Hugo?
When the Hugo.
Lufan Fuhar took the plunge.
Yeah, but they now know that was a suicide wish. It wasn't they've already found that out. That lady was on her way to commit suicide, and they don't know if she just changed her mind and did it on the bridge.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, you Google that, you'll find that out. Yeah, she was going through, was it a divorce and a bunch of depression?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Driving at very high speed.
Yep.
I was up there in Mackinac City when they hauled it out. You could see it was just smashed like an accordion.
Oh,
yeah. Well, it wasn't the best built vehicle to begin with.
No.
You know what I mean? It made a Chevette look like a Cadillac. Let's put it that way.
Oh, I don't think any vehicle would stand up going off the Mighty Mac into that water.
No.
Not too well, anyway.
No. But other than that, it's a fun trip to go across the bridge, Melissa. It's worth it to go.
I've been across
fun.
It, but I couldn't drive my vehicle. I had to have somebody else drive it.
What?
Melissa's just hop on my mother and sister.
I'm gonna give Melissa.
I'll do a roller coaster any day.
We'll go over that mother.
Okay.
There's a hell of a lot of people. They used to have drivers. They hired driving kids in the summertime. They had licenses would stand with signs. If you are afraid to drive, they would drive you for a price.
Yes, they would.
They would wait to, somebody needed to come back over. They'd wait on the other side.
The bridge authority will provide a driver for you.
Yeah.
I remember that. I think it was $20. You didn't want to go across the Mighty Mac. One of these local kids drive across that for you, get you across there nice and safe, and then like you said, get a ride on the way, come back the other way because somebody else didn't want to go across the other way.
It gets a little icky when the wind's really blowing. I'll tell you that.
Oh yeah.
When you're in a band, that's what I used to go over. Man.
In a van.
And a half.
It's only like 20 miles an hour.
Yeah. That's a long. I just wanted to go fast as I could to get over that sucker when the wind.
I was told you couldn't because the bridge sways, and the wind actually picked the car up and took it down. Oh no.
Oh yeah.
I'll never do that again. I'll take a ferry.
So my fat wife to get in the back and hold us down.
That ferry ain't all that either now.
No.
Never been on the ferry.
Oh, I was just on it a couple of years ago.
Man.
It wasn't all of that either.
Oh, my.
The water was kind of choppy, and it was like,
trip on a windy day.
Yeah, I didn't have my Bible with me. I didn't have my Bible with me, but I was praying. then the thought of, oh God, I gotta go back.
Ooh.
The going back wasn't as bad as the going though. I could say that.
Well, that's good. Ooh. Yeah, it gets choppy out there, and you don't want to be out there when it's choppy, unless you got an iron
quick.
Right. Not without Dramamine.
You bet. I don't even know if that works in that kind of mess.
You can get seasick.
Yeah. I remember going out there with the owner of a business, and he had a nice big-ass boat. We're out there, and it was terrible. Oh, my God. Everybody was pulling. Green, blue to green, and I wasn't saying nothing. I'm just hanging on for dear life, and he's up in the, up top. He said, I think we ought to go in. Thank God, but I wasn't going to say it. Nah. Oh, my God. There was people puking everywhere.
Hey, guys, I'm going to get off here and finish unloading. I want to thank you for excusing me for being late. I'll see you all in the fall. If you got a need to meet for an emergency show, get a hold of Don, Scott, Adrian, or myself. We'll make it happen.
And
Jimmy, congratulations
on your wedding.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yes, congratulations, Jimmy.
Enjoy your bride, and your bride enjoy you.
Way to go, Jim.
Hi, guys.
I got to go, ladies and gentlemen. Goodbye.
Congratulations.
Bye, Paul.
Peace out.
Peace out.
Jimmy.
Wow. Nice. Wow.
We're losing everybody
quick.
Just about. Yeah, that was quick.
Brian left. Paul. Jimmy.
Gangster Missy.
Missy's here. And,
okay,
yeah,
Missy's here.
I'm not going to blame her.
So what is Paul? What do you think about how the union is going to try to swoon over the membership, not to do with one member, one vote?
Well, that's a great question. If Paul was here, I'm sure he would have an answer.
I thought you just said he was still here.
No, I said Jimmy, Brian, Paul.
Have all left.
Group
left
into
the building.
Yeah.
Like Elvis, right? They left the building.
Yeah.
Okay. Adrian, Melissa, how do you think they're going to swoon that?
There ain't a bag of ice big enough for me to sit on.
Well, there you go. Well, I think at my local, they're going to apply pressure to the membership through various tactics.
Yep.
Do you think that you'll see some bulletins and stuff like that?
That's a good question, Carrie. I think that's possible because our local union, our locals already put out a page and a half response in our local paper saying why one member, one vote was a bad idea.
I haven't seen nothing at my local, but I know on my local, one of the local pages, there's like three of them now. And I know that one of the bargainers come on there and was basically saying how, and he listens and he knows who he is, how he doesn't think that one member, one vote is the right thing.
Right. I've heard the arguments that it'll be a popularity contest and probably the right person wouldn't get in there. And I'm going, what's the difference in what we got right now?
I agree.
We've been trying to get that for years, for decades. Now we finally got a chance to get it. Now you see people not wanting it. It's probably the new people, you know.
And it's the very union that's trying to push this so that they don't have to be removed from their cushy jobs and their big money.
Yeah. And they don't, you know, who wants to spend their own cash going to UAW facilities to campaign? They don't want to do that. They'd rather sit in Detroit and have, eight kiss asses go to the convention and do what they're told instead of what the people want.
Yep.
But you know something, Don? As far as, like, what we have in there right now,
mm-hmm.
they can afford to travel all around the United States and campaign. The administration caucus has a big chest.
Oh, yeah.
They have a big chest, and they have a lot of people in their caucus. Because it's not just one caucus. They
You're
have
right about that. You're right.
Okay, and so what they should be doing, this is the foolishness of them. This is why I said they're, when I say unintelligent,
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
just the word, you're really kind of stupid because you have a big chest, war chest.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else that's trying to run, they don't. You can outspend them, right?
Yeah.
Why are you so worried about if one or two people should win an election and get into the fold? Why are you so worried about that? Because you've been doing things so illegal all along. You've got all that nepotism going on. Okay. We have regional directors' children down at Solidarity House. We have all former presidents' children still down in Solidarity House. Why are you so worried about a couple, three members getting a position. That can't upset your apple cart.
You wouldn't think
so. That could bring a new perspective, though. And maybe you need that new perspective in there, because maybe you'll get somebody in there that's able to show you where you have your evil ways going bad toward the membership. And maybe you can make a change. But
I don't think they think they're evil. I don't think
Well, we know they don't think that, because if they did, they would step the fuck back.
I agree 100%. But I don't think that they think they've been off that floor for so long on them cushy chairs, not doing a damn thing.
Oh, they've been doing a thing.
They don't even know what it is to be a damn floor worker. They can't relate to us. They don't give two flying shits about us.
No, they don't, but it has nothing to do with they haven't been on the floor.
Right.
It has nothing to do with they haven't been on the floor. It has to do with power.
Right.
They feel they have to have this power.
I agree with the power thing, but here's my thing. If you haven't been on the floor as a worker, and a lot of them haven't in a long time,
a lot of them have
even
never been. Okay.
I was just going to say that, too. I was just going to say that. Some of them never even put their gat out there on the floor.
Right.
They don't care. They can't relate. Change comes
they don't
when
know
you
the struggle.
Can relate with somebody or something. And comes within yourself of some self-recognition that something needs to change because something is not right. They don't see anything's wrong. Because they can't relate.
Mm-hmm.
They have been busy. They have been busy as far as cohorting with the enemy, with the corporations.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is right now. They've been busy doing that. They're rubbing elbows. And what they're busy doing is they're busy finding ways. It has been in the last few years anyway. Now we see it. They've been busy finding how to steal money from the membership, how to make more money off the backs of the people they're supposed to be representing. That's what they're busy doing. They're busy taking care of themselves, not caring. Like you said, they don't give two shits about us.
Mm-hmm.
We hear people call on this radio program with problems from all over, and people are out on the street. They're waiting and asking for help from their union. Get their jobs back or get them back pay or whatever. And it's like nobody knows how to do this for the membership anymore.
Well, if you take somebody under your wing that has been fired, or you're a relative, or you know somebody, or you personally yourself have been fired, and you try and get a hold of those, and I mean, we're even talking about on the local level, regional, local, and then international, to get those people rolling and off their asses and track them down, it's very, very time-consuming. And a lot of times, they won't call you back.
No.
And I know that to be factual.
Back in the day.
I can agree with you.
Yeah. Back in the day, I don't know how many years you have, Carrie or Melissa, but Adrian, I'm sure you've got enough years, and I know Don does. It used to be we had a saying, an injury to one was an injury to all.
That's right.
And I got 20 going on 22 years then.
Well, then you've heard that before.
I have. And when one person was mad, we were all mad. That's why I can't understand. But how does everybody get mad on the floor if you don't even make what I make?
You know, I'll tell you a quick story.
Like messed up.
Yeah, it is.
I'll
tell you a quick story. Don will remember this. We had a CHOP chairman. And now, he wasn't, I'm going to say he wasn't the best, okay? He had some big flaws. And, yes, it involved money, okay? It seems the way that's how it goes down. But on this one particular instance, on this one particular day, our shop chairman grabbed a couple of the district shop committee men, the shop committee at large. They walked down together as a group. He met the plant manager down at the end of the final line, and they proceeded to have an argument. Our shop chairman said, really, that's how it's going to be? Walked over, and he palmed the line down. He shut the whole line down. You remember that, Don?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I sure do.
Mark Hawkins was, at that time, was the chairman of Local 598, Flint Assembly. At that time, we were still Flint Truck and Bus. He shut that whole plant down. And when they fired that back up, he had everybody else shut the plant down in other different places legally. They used safety.
Yeah. Or if I was in a metals shop at the time, and we kept blowing off caps off our and you know, our antifreeze spraying everywhere, so we weren't running. And that's what we used to do when somebody being hotboxed. The committee man would come by and say, hey, you guys shut the line down until I tell you. And one guy pulled, you know, he would, you just take your cap off and antifreeze would be flowing everywhere and you just walk away till you get skilled trade. And then a minute later, another cap falls off and skilled trade knows what's going on, so they take their time. That's how it used to be. It isn't like that anymore.
Yep, we stuck together.
Yeah, we did. I didn't even know who was in trouble. I didn't even know his name. I didn't have a clue who it was. And they said, hey, just do what I tell you. And he metal frame, the metal work and chassis, all of us shut the whole plant down.
It was, I think in that particular instance, I think the plant was down for about an hour.
Yeah.
And, plant manager says, what do we got to do to run this? And Mark told him, first of all, it's my plant, it's my people that make this plant run, and this is what we want. And he got it.
And he got it.
But you don't see no more chairmen doing that.
No.
You don't see no more chairmen, bargainers, committee people. The floor workers were just so separated. You know, at the first plant I was at when I got hired in, that's the way it was. When shit went down, we slowed down.
We're
going to show you just how much this is going to hurt. That does not happen anymore.
No.
We used to wear red shirts. Go ahead.
No.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I you know what though? It's like this is all. It's all foreign to me anymore. Going into the plant, it's foreign to me. It's been foreign for years. And I'll tell you something else that really bugs me while I'm on the subject of being bugged. No big surprise. Now, when we took those concessions, did you see International take any concessions?
No.
No, you did not. So anything they say we need to do or we got to give up or we got to do. Now, International is shoving this shit down your throat, but these comp tankers up there, wherever they hail from, wherever, and if the shoe fits, wear it. You don't take concessions. You don't work with two-tier workers that are getting paid less. It is utter hypocrisy.
Oh, you're right. I think Gary Jones, when he got appointed to be the next president behind Dennis Williams, I think he should have to come in at half salary.
I agree.
How you like that?
I agree. And I don't think any of those contracts that were he was sitting in any of the meetings should even be legally binding because they're felons.
And I agree with you.
Is still in the mix.
Brian agrees with you. Brian tried to get that lawsuit,
And those judges said that had nothing to do with our contracts. And I agree with you. It had everything to do with our contracts.
It had everything to do with. They bargained in bad faith.
Icabelli said, what did he say? I'll quote you. We were told to keep the union fat, dumb, and happy.
I got their fat, fucking dumb, and happy.
Well, I'll tell you what, they haven't really done a good job. They're not keeping up. I'd like to see some people that are scholars be like consultants with the union. Because they
right.
don't understand, like some people, they got some labor relation knowledge, some, you know, people that are scholars in this, like have coffee classes.
Yeah. Jokic was probably the last halfway decent president that we had in UAW, and he was corrupt too.
Well, yeah. Because they all get corrupt. But you know what? You know, we got to stop paying their legal bills, too. I don't care what anybody says.
They need to start paying their employees that are on disability and stop sticking around.
I know people that were in your shoes, too.
Because I am done fucking playing with these mother truckers, as Jimmy would say.
Well, as long as you work or are... I don't think you can get an attorney if you still are employed there.
The fuck
you
I can't.
Have to wait for the...
I most certainly do not. I can get an attorney at any point in time in my lifetime and sue whomever I please. And there's going to be
correct.
A long list when it happens.
That's
well,
correct.
You don't pay
them,
me. What are they going
to
do? Fire me? Please. Would you please
and they better not
do
that.
It? And you better not do that either.
Yeah, you can get an attorney anytime.
Yes, ma'am. You're right, Adrian.
Well, what the attorney's going to tell you, they're going to give you a consultation on your rights, but what? As long as you work there and as long as you have
the
UAW as
your
legal.
People have sued those companies and work there and still retain jobs.
Yes. They changed the laws. They changed the laws. You can still sue your employer by working there.
Yeah,
change those laws.
Okay.
They've been doing that.
Okay.
They've been doing that for years.
Yeah. So as long as the UAW is your legal representative, though, that attorney will hold off a lot of time.
Hold on. We're playing music. Hang on. There you go. Hey,
no.
Before we
you
leave,
hire an attorney, the attorney works for you.
That's
right.
They don't work for the UAW. They don't work for the corporation. They work for you. They
right.
are not
yep.
going to hold off if they feel you have a case.
Yeah, because they're going
to
make
I
a
know that
money.
Even before I went to Ford, that a gentleman in the plant that I worked in sued them, and he got a lifetime job.
Woo!
There you
Good
go.
For him.
And so
there you go.
This is – it's all about if you can find an attorney that will take your case and fight.
Right.
Not
That's
afraid
right.
to fight.
No.
But a lot of attorneys are going to tell you if you have a grievance in – they're going to say that the UAW has to do their due process.
But
okay,
UAW ain't doing their due
no.
process with me.
I know this.
They're fucking
I know
me.
This because I haven't been paid since
February.
I
went out on mental illness. And the disability paperwork with Sedgwick has said the same thing since square day one.
You got enough
day
time
one.
In Melissa to hold out.
We got about 20
them,
seconds.
Where they
left.
Can't
right.
do time for time.
Real quick, I want to close. I want to
wish
close
you
this.
Well and good luck.
Yeah. I want to close this out real quick. All right. Quote of the day.
Labor unions are the prize fighters of the working class inside today's form of economy. They are tied inseparably to the wage system because without them, workers would be unable to sell their labor power at its value because they lead the struggle against the tendency inherent in capitalist accumulation toward the relative impoverishment of the working masses. Anonymous. There you go.
All right.
We'll still be doing a show on Saturday night if you'd like to join us at 9 o'clock. Same number. Everything's the same, but the show's different.
As long as Adrian doesn't fall asleep.
Is that what happened last night?
I was doing my Sudoku puzzles.
Hey. Last week, so don't worry about it. You all have to stay.
I'll see you tomorrow, Donnie.
Yeah. Hey, what's that? Oh yeah, tomorrow night we got.
Oh yeah, tomorrow show.
Oh God, how did I get roped into that crap? Oh Joe, that's all. Damn, how did that?
I probably won't be there tomorrow. Y'all enjoy
tomorrow show. The political show.
It's the political show.
Oh God, I dread that.
All right.
Okay, 9 o'clock tomorrow night. Beyond the mainstream, same number. Just join us. Call in if you would like to join us. We have a good time, don't we, Adrian?
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. And yeah, Missy, I was going to ask you.
Not as long as Brother Warren, but never ever call in again.
No, that's bad. That is true. All right, you'll be all safe, all right? We'll talk
everybody
to you.
Everybody have a happy summer. Love y'all.
Yeah, have a hot summer. And most of you, will talk to you tomorrow night. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. In September, or lose you to a summer love.
You have been listening to the UAW Factory Whistle Show. See you in September. Be safe.